reconvene the hearing now. If you could please take your seats. And if you want to carry on talking, can you please do it outside the room? Thank you. So the next submitter we're scheduled to hear from is Don Nicholson. Mr. Nicholson here? Afternoon.
Afternoon.
And as with, I'm not sure if you've been here this afternoon or not, but we've read your original written submission, so thank you very much for that. You don't need to reread that to us, but you're welcome to speak to us in terms of the key points that you want us to take away. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman, and councillors that are in attendance today. Introduce myself a little bit. I farm not far from here, about 10 minutes southeast, I think, and I do dairy support. I bound the Araroa wetlands, the Ramsar wetlands, and for my sins, I was the former president of Federated Farmers till 2011, and I've had 25 years in studying farmer advocacy and activism prior to that, but I've spent the last 6 years in self-imposed exile, and I'm trying my best to be far more objective than I was perhaps when you had a membership to follow and be directed by. So I think I've got the least self-interest of anyone in the submission process, and that's why I'm taking that helicopter view rather than getting into the minutiae. I had a mantra that it took me 25 years to formulate. It was that it is the advocacy group Federated Farmers' job to maintain authority over property. The last 6 years I've attempted to collaborate in a new way, sort of option. I collaborated for 25 years in the Federated Farmers model, and I would suggest that I was duped in a lot of instances by supposedly policy makers and policy advisors. And I need to say that my whole being is allowing the knowledge to grow before you make change. Sometimes you can build that yourself. Sometimes it's others that do it and show you the way to do it. But certainly the regulator has never shown me anything useful in that light. And I need to say as well, and this might sound pretty cutting, ownership is key to me. Federated Farmers owns nothing. Dairy NZ owns nothing. Beef and Lamb own nothing. Fonterra owns stainless steel. It doesn't own the farms. And so when they talk about, when they give submissions, I don't think they respect the real owners of the properties that they're talking about. And just to add a little bit of substance to that, lately I've been hearing about this reason for the plan, and we don't want a monoculture in Southland. Well, you won't have a monoculture in Southland, but you couldn't blame the sheep and beef farmers for exiting based on the last 10 years. They've had a 1.1 EBITDA over the last 10 years on average, and dairying 4.7. So, and that will come out in our valuer, who's going to give some submissions later in the hearing. So why did I, you know, to me, we need to be informed better before we get on the road on this plan. And why did I have the cynicism develop over time? Well, I have had that cynicism develop over time because actually you need robust factual knowledge. And when I asked the now Prime Minister in about 2008, where's the empirical evidence for water quality movement in this country? Where's the 50-year data? He didn't know where it was. I've never seen it, but it seems quite interesting and convenient that we talk about data perhaps of the last 15 to 20 years in the light of the planning of today. Well, and the other thing that I've been mystified by is, or cogitating over, is what started this, aside from the National Objectives Framework and all that stuff, there was just a political fervour in Southland about no more dairy cows on the Southland Plains. Now, as I said, I'm not a dairy farmer, but that seemed to be the fervour that could kick this thing off more than anything. And so, with a lot more knowledge than I had when I started in Federated Farmers in the late 80s, and by the way, I did all the stuff that you're talking about today and the bigger farms are talking about today 25, 30 years ago with no direction from anyone else. It was just smart to fence waterways, just smart to put better bridges in, just smart to do a lot of stuff that's now being talked about. So that's when I get the pushback that nothing I've done is good enough, it mystifies me. Anyway, we cleaned up point source discharges mainly by the end of the first decade perhaps, or even at the end of the last century. And yet we've got urban waterways and systems that aren't quite right. And I'm told that the Invercargill City, for instance, has a level where the wastewater gets chopped up, a percentage of it can just flow back into the stormwater. And based on the rate of renewal in Invercargill City, it will take 100 years to do up their system. But so that hasn't really worked for everyone other than industry. Then we moved on to cumulative effect type thinking, and it took me a while to understand what that was because I didn't have enough knowledge to make the assessment of cumulative effect, but it was a catch-all. It was a very smart option because it was a catch-all. It roped you in whether you're guilty or not. And so that moved into and allowed a lot more emotively charged rhetoric. And when I left Federated Farmers in 2011, I did come and spend a little bit of time in the local branch for a bit. I actually got to understand the 2011-12 State of the Environment Report of Environment Southland. And Federated Farmers commissioned some independent scientist reports at the time to give an overview of it. The first one was written by a guy in Dunedin, I think Tom Hell is his name. He said that environment report was biased at best and corrupted at worst. And there was a Cook report done at significant cost to Federated Farmers that Environment Southland has that vindicated pretty much of what Tom Heller said. And of course now we've got the 2016 report having had some oversight by Mr. Heller again, and he has given some main conclusions which I'm not at liberty to give you today, but they were presented to the Federated Farmers conference last week, and I think they're now available on the Environment Southland website. And it shows that downland, in the downland especially, nitrogen is not the issue that's exposed so often to the media or to the masses. So it's not the issue that it's purported to be. In general terms, maybe phosphate is. So we've heard all the stuff about nitrogen, and you know, you read the media and the nitrogen's the big ticket item. Well, perhaps that needs a bit of a re-evaluation. And so then we go on to physiographics. Now, I know and respect the author of the physiographics model in Southland, and it is a model, and I need to reiterate that. It is a model. It's not, as we've found today, something that's absolutely robust. And he is embarrassed privately about the use of this as an attempt of this to be a regulatory tool. He wanted it to be a knowledge and an empowerment building tool. And so he's a bit concerned about it. And they said, and I'd say worse, it's still only a risk-based model. It's not an actual, it's a risk-based model. So it's not been seriously peer-reviewed, and it cannot be used to differentiate farming types, i.e. land use. And as I said, anomalies abound in the physiographics zone model that you've seen and you've heard of today, as they do in Overseer. But worse, I found out today that, I think it's under the Section 42 analysis, it exposed that some political lobbying already has taken two zones out of the over the original plan. Well, that shows that zones, and it's coming to my main part of my submission, which is about value diminution, shows that those zones, the lobbyists in those zones, understand the stigma effect on the value and of their land, and have already influenced the future outcome of this plan.
I'm just going to interject you there, Mr. Nicholson, because you're factually incorrect there.
I'm happy to be
just
corrected.
Listen a minute. So there's been no removal of the zones from the plan. It still has the same number of zones, but the staff have recommended to us, only as a recommendation, that the use of some of those zones and some of the rules is amended.
Well, I stand corrected, Mr. Chairman, but my influence or impetus on that point still stands. Because it does show that people do understand stigma value. And I talk about the comparison I tried to think about is in cities. You have zones. You have school zones, you have stigma attached to zones, you have elitism. None of it's scientific, it's just planned somehow with lines on maps, and it creates a strange dilemma it creates strange outcomes, perverse outcomes in the marketplace. And so I look at the example on page 109 that I wrote to the Southern Times about last August and got a pretty poor response. There is a huge influence likely on market value of land in Southland. Yep, current dairy farming likely to be sort of status quo, but the 1,000-odd sheep and beef farms who have had their future potential potentially taken from them by a plan that's onerous. I've got a friend who's had a consent granted for his dairy farm. It has now been valued by his consultant at $1 million. So if you take the property potential away of the other 1,000, I'm suggesting, sheep and beef farms, and not all of them would want to convert, there is $1 billion expropriated just by the formation of this plan. That would be the biggest expropriation of value in New Zealand history, I imagine. So let's hope that doesn't happen. So what does success look like in this plan? In my opinion, it looks like communities could be altered or destroyed even more than they were in the past. And luckily, dairying has brought some of them back. Provincial bankability is seriously tested, and the banks, I think, are finally waking up to that. The Southland Regional Development Strategy just makes this all look a bit stupid, because one's attempting to build the population and another one's potentially going to diminish it. This is the plan. And I look at the example of, going back to values, the Waitūna catchment. We had a former Environment Southland chair lady get a headline in the Southland Times in 2011, and those properties in that catchment are pretty much unmarketable. I would believe there was one mortgagee sale that I'm aware of. $1 million was quite common to be taken off the value of those farms, so at least $100 million of value diminution there. I'm aware of the Taupo zone stuff. I worked for a guy who was offered $1.8 million for his farm under the nitrogen cap. I lobbied and got $4.1 million, never saw him again, but the people that were left standing in the Taupo catchment were hugely stressed and affected by it. Not many farmers, but the people that you see in the media talking about Taupo beef and how good it is, it's just pure self-interest and politically motivated. So I'm getting to the end, Mr. Chairman. I'm now aware, after speaking to the Rural Support Trust in Southland last week, that they're getting distressed calls now from farmers over this plan. And so it does bother me that late to the mark people are getting the hang of this. It says to me that, well, I'll sum up actually. I think attempting to sum up the future with overbearing regulation is bad enough. But for AES to be engineering the future without adequate knowledge makes it much worse. Now, I say adequate knowledge. Environmentally, they haven't got adequate knowledge. It's been found wanting now by independent peer review science, which is on this Environment Southland website. The economic analysis was mute, and we hear about a 360-page document today. I think it's been out a few weeks. The write-ups in the Southland Times were vague, to say the least. I couldn't understand clearly what they were talking about. And so it's worse when AES attempts to engineer the future, when clearly the efforts of the existing and investing farming public have made an effect. They're making a positive contribution. They've invested hundreds of millions of dollars. They've retooled the province. They've re-engineered the province. They've done it of their own volition, although sometimes under coercion by the regulator. The very first dairy conversion in Southland in the new era was 1988. That guy's on a third effluent system. And so you only have to look at the latest reports to show that we're having a positive effect with that reinvestment program. And as I said, that Heller report to Federated Farmers Conference last week is a worthy read. And it says to me that the whole plan has been a big oversold as a must-do. It's a must-do, so there's been a lot of emotionally charged rhetoric around it. But clearly, it's been oversold on the environmentalist side of the story and less or much less on the economic side of the story on behalf of the people who have skin in the game. And so, lastly, I'd say that measurement is key. Measurement builds knowledge, but that knowledge has to be then wisely used. It's a very powerful tool when you have that knowledge around measurement. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for that. I'll see if the panel members have questions for you, but before I pass it over to them, there's just one thing you said that I'm quite curious about. You said that the physiographic zones, the process hadn't been peer-reviewed. Now, my understanding, based on the information I've had provided to me, is that that process has been extensively peer-reviewed by a raft of external professional and well-regarded scientists and consultants. So I'm curious as to where you get your information.
That's
from.
Not clear to me. I've tried to research that. See, Mr. Snelder has had some oversight of it. Yeah. I think he's employed by Environment Southland, but I don't know.
No, he's independent.
Is it internationally peer-reviewed? Has it been used anywhere else?
What I'd suggest you do is, if you approach the Environment Southland staff, probably after this, they can give you a copy of a document that we were provided with on day one of the hearing, which lists the extensive list of scientists who peer-reviewed the whole physiographic zone process.
Well, I'd be happy to see it, sir, yeah. But it's not good. Clear to me, and I did do some research into that. But one thing I do know, and even in my own farming zone, it's full of anomalies.
Yeah.
And so we can't expect it to be perfect, but it's not suitable, in my opinion, as a regulatory tool.
No. Okay. Right, we'll just see if we have any questions for you, Mike.
No, thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. No, I'm fine.
No, I'm
fine. Any questions, clarification?
No, I don't think so. Mm.
No. And I have no questions of clarification either for you. Thank you very much for coming in this afternoon.